It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study of the book of Ephesians has taken us into chapter 2 now, and I'd like to pick up our study with verse 3, where it says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Well, as I read this, I'm reminded of Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, where it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." You see, when we get saved, there is a change that takes place. That change we notice most of all when we first get saved. Things happen to us, and we start realizing that we've passed from death into life, and we get excited, and we're ready to serve God, to do what He wants us to do. And we're going to read further on down in these verses in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we're going to see why that people get to a point where they start listening to others who have possibly not been saved, and they start doing things they shouldn't do as saved people. Oh, well, they still would be saved if they've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but just like the old person that we read of in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, they become a disobedient person. They are deceived. Something happens to them. They start listening not to the Word of God, not to the people of God, but they start listening to the people of the world. And rather than going on and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see something about grace in just a moment, but instead of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, they continue to grow in the knowledge of the world instead of doing what God wants them to do. And I'm speaking to saved people. Now, in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, it says, "But God." You notice, in spite of verse 3, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." God loved us before we loved Him. And you can read about this in Romans chapter 10, and verse 12. And as we think of the rich mercy of God, it's only by His mercy that any of us are saved, any of us are on our way to heaven. "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us." Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins," God loves us, even when we are dead in trespasses and sins, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us." It means to make us alive. Hath quickened us. That's saved people. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. There's that word grace. By grace, you're saved. We're going to see some more about that word grace in just a moment, because verse 6 goes on to say, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It's just as if we're already in heaven. God looks at us and He sees Jesus. Well, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. And just as He is there, He sees us there. And of course, we're not there yet physically, but one day we're going to be with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 says this, "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places." Well, that verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It's just as if we're already there. Nothing can change that. In the mind of God, we are there, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in, which can separate us from God, which the love of Jesus, which is in God the Father. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary to save us. And when we get saved, it's just as if we're already there in heaven. One day we'll realize that personally. We'll be there. No more worries, no more cares, no more sin, no more sickness, no more death. We'll be there with Jesus Christ. But I remind you, in the mind of God, we are already there. Nothing can change that. Nothing can stop that. Notice verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'd like to go back and read verse 6 with that. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. When I read that verse, I think of Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, where it says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Who appeared? The Savior. Who is the Savior? Jesus Christ. It's by the kindness and love of God that our Savior has appeared, that he's come to appear before lost, sinful people of this world. And we've accepted that, and we've trusted him as our Savior. That is, those of us who have really trusted him and asked him into our heart. But notice verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's all of God. It's all a gift of God. Well, I see this word grace in that verse, in verse 8. And I look back in the Bible, and I see the first time that the word grace is actually mentioned in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says there, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we keep reading about Noah, and we realize and we find by reading the Word of God that Noah was a righteous man. Well, how did he become righteous? Well, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We're born into this world in sin. So what made a difference with Noah than any other person? Well, it's the same thing today. All of us are born into sin, but just like Noah, we find grace in the eyes of the Lord when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God's grace is shed abroad toward us, in us, because we have trusted Jesus Christ. We become righteous. Now, this old sinful body, it is not righteous, but the real person within this body that's being held captive, that person is righteous, because that person has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now notice once again, it says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when I see that verse, I look at it and I put my name there. But Lewis found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can put your name there if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That brings joy to my heart, realizing that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the word grace, it doesn't stop there. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, for the Lord God, you hear that? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He protects us. The Lord will give grace and glory. It says, no good thing will he withhold from whom? From them that walk uprightly. Well, how do you walk uprightly? It's by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is saved people. Those people who walk uprightly. It doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake along the way. It's saying that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, how did grace come? John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ that grace came into this world. Well, whose grace is it? Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's by the grace of God, and that redemption comes in Jesus Christ. How does that redemption come? It comes by receiving Jesus, by receiving the redemption that he's offering to this lost and dying world. Jesus Christ comes into our heart, and we experience the grace of God. We are justified freely. through Jesus Christ. Well, you see, some say we keep studying this, and some say because we have liberty in the Lord, and the Bible teaches we have liberty. But some say because we have this liberty, we can do what we please, even to the point of living like we did before we were saved. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about this, and certainly we do have liberty in the Lord, but some people just take this to the other extreme, and they try to tell you that you can live like the devil. Some people say that a saved person can do whatever they want. And when they say that, they're saying that they can live just like an unsaved person. Well, as a human being, you can live like an unsaved person even when you get saved. But I guarantee you that God is not pleased with that. What happened? What took place in the heart of the person who's been saved? Well, the Bible teaches us that we get out of the will of God. We lose our fellowship with Him. We don't lose our salvation. We lose our fellowship. And God puts us on a shelf. He cannot use us if we have this attitude that we can live like the devil and serve God. There's no way. Well, how does this happen in a saved person's life? Let's take, for instance, a person who has just gotten saved and they're a member of a local church. Well, Jude chapter 1, and of course there's only one chapter, in verse 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Certain men crept in unawares. That means they sneak in. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I've met people who have a good testimony. They've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They live for the Lord for a period of time, serving Him, really working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next thing you know, it's as if they're back out into the world. They're not serving God. What happened? These people, they have been taken by surprise. They have been lulled to sleep by ungodly people who tell them they can live like the devil. And after that happens, you know, they think they can serve God. But after they start living like the world, they suddenly find out, well, I can't live like this and serve God. So the next thing we know, they're back out into the world serving the devil. Have they ever been saved? Well, that's up to them and the Lord. If they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're saved. But if they made a false profession, if they say, Lord, come into my heart, and they really don't mean it, they're just looking for we used to call this, and some people call this the pie in the sky. They think that just by saying a few words that they're on their way to heaven. But I've got news for you. The Bible says that we must repent. That word repentance means that we have a change of mind. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we realize that word all means us, when that word all means me, it means you. When you realize that that word all means you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, you need to realize that you're lost on your way to hell, and the only way you're going to go to heaven is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've changed your mind. You've repented. You've turned toward the Lord instead of turning to the world for salvation. You're willing to take Jesus Christ at His word where He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. I will save you if you call upon my name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.